The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Do you love to worship God? The death of Jesus on the cross is a lot, and we can sing about it all day long. What a beautiful reality. What a beautiful revelation. Are you ready for God's word this morning? Second service, guys, are you ready? Did you bring your energy to service this morning? Hallelujah. Let's have our seats. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, one of the greatest blessings, you know, I have as a pastor, having to preach sometimes in multiple services and preaching the same message, is that it helps me appreciate the blessedness of utterance by the Spirit. How that somebody can preach the same message from the same notes and yet different impact. I get what I'm saying? And I'm saying this for a reason. So that if you are here for second service, or if you just come for first service, you should never feel like you are missing out on anything. Let me tell you how the anointing works. Because people normally say, sir, you preach the same thing in first and second service, but you say different things in both of them. Yes, that's the reason. Because the anointing responds to the needs in the meeting. So if maybe someone in first service is sick, say, of cancer, you could see me preach and digress, begin to talk about cancer. Now, you may never hear that in the second service, because there is nobody in second service that has that need. So for whatever service you attend, you should be confident that God has your package. I know what I'm saying. He has you in mind. So whatever that I said in the service you attended, I would have still said it if I attended any other service. Because it's the anointing that will pick out that case. That's why when you're in service, you come with expectation. So that your heart is craving for the touch of God. So that when the anointing begins to move, the anointing can spot that situation. The Bible tells us that Jesus was teaching somewhere, and the power of God was present to heal. So the power of God was present to heal because there were sick people in the atmosphere. Are you know what I'm saying? If there was no sick person, for instance, when Jesus taught for some days and multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, we have no record of any healing miracle in that particular place. Because possibly there was no need for that. But because there was a need for provision, provision came. So if you are here in this service, I tell you, God has your package. I say, God has your package. And He's going to meet you at the point of your need. This is a Holy Ghost, a believer's meeting actually. It's a believer's meeting. Like I explained in the first service, there are different kinds of meetings. There are teaching meetings, for instance. When we hold the teaching meeting, we lay emphasis on the word. We just teach the word. As a matter of fact, the most dominant meeting that should exist in any local church should be teaching meeting. When Jesus rose from the dead, He taught His disciples for 40 days. Acts 1 verse 3 tells us that He appeared to them and He taught, He shared with them the things pertaining to the kingdom. And He did that, look at that, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. So Jesus was teaching them for 40 days. 40 days. And we're going to have 30 days of light. You know what changed? What changed Peter from being the guy that could deny Jesus about less than 2 months ago to being the guy that could stand in front of the crowd after that? Now, a 40 days experience has changed him. When there are extended teaching opportunities in God's word, please lay hold of them. So look at that. So there are teaching meetings. For instance, again, there are prayer meetings. There are meetings we call just to pray. For instance, next week Saturday, we are going to have prayer drive. 4 hours prayer meeting. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, these are meetings. Every meeting in the local church carries its own weight and has its own importance. That's why, you know, as a way of digressing, I'm going to say, you cannot be a solid believer if you're a believer that chooses the meetings to attend. If you're in a local church, you must attend all the meetings. So there are teaching meetings. There are prayer meetings. What happens in a teaching meeting cannot happen in a prayer meeting. So there are teaching meetings. So the most consistent meeting that was happening in the church are teaching meetings. After that, prayer meetings. So after he taught them for 40 days, he told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry at Jerusalem until the Spirit comes from on high. What were they doing for the 10 in Jerusalem? They were praying. How long did they stay in Jerusalem before the Spirit came? They stayed for 10 days. So we see a perfect example. Jesus taught them for 40 days and they went to pray in Jerusalem for 10 days. Are you what I'm talking about? So those are different kinds of meetings. Again, there are meetings like evangelistic meetings where we come, our target is to preach the gospel to reach sinners. That can happen, maybe not inside church, that can happen on the street, that can happen in marketplaces, that can happen in crusades. When we had meetings like Evening of Answers, it was an evangelistic meeting. It was targeted at reaching the sinners. Are you blessed this morning? There are other meetings like healing meetings, where we just call those meetings just for the sake of ministry to the sick. There are meetings like that, again and again. There are other kind of meetings. There are Holy Ghost meetings, for instance. A Holy Ghost meeting is a meeting where the word of God is preached, most times not taught. It is preached and the Spirit is given free course in the service. So in that kind of meeting, the Holy Ghost is moving, healing, delivering, people are getting blessed. You know, you see impartations, all those kinds of things. That's what we call a Holy Ghost meeting. Then there are believers meetings. We're going to have a believers meeting this morning. And a believers meeting looks like a Holy Ghost meeting. But the major difference is this. Of course, it is we that gave all these terms. But the major difference is this. But when I mean we, not like me. We, I mean people of this generation. One of the people that popularized some of this classification was Kenneth E. Hagin. When we have believers meeting, for instance, you notice that the Spirit is moving quite all right, but the believers are being a blessing to each other. So this morning, there was a time we get to this service, we will allow you to be a blessing to your neighbor and allow your neighbor to be a blessing to you. Are you ready this morning? You will talk to your neighbor, you pray for your neighbor, you minister to your neighbor this morning. There are meetings like that where people minister to people. Where believers are given the opportunity to minister to their fellow believers. And this meeting is such a meeting. 1 Corinthians 14:26 was talking about this kind of meeting. He said, how is it then, brethren? When you come together, he said, every one of you had a psalm. So it's not a meeting where we come to and only the pastor is blessing. He said, everyone has a psalm. Everyone had a doctrine. That's teaching. Everyone had a tongue. Everyone had the revelation and interpretation. So it tells you, in this kind of meeting, everybody has something. So Minister Rose here could have, for Meso here, a word of encouragement. Right? Are you following me? Mr. Ozioma here could have for Angel a word of comfort. It can be a psalm. Right? We can be here and psalms will come. A song will just come forth like that. We can be here in this place. And someone could get a revelation. I could get a revelation. Maybe you can be ministering and Proshino do here, get a revelation for the wife about something. This is a believer's meeting where one person, a believer, is blessing another believer. And we're going to have that experience this morning. So let me say, I will be blessed. And I will be a blessing. Hallelujah. So when the Spirit moves in that dimension this morning, everybody will have something to offer. So the person that will lose out this morning is the person who either will not receive or will not give. We are here to give and to take. Are you following me? We will give, we will take. Some of you that were in first service, you are blessed. It was such a beautiful time. I'm going to have that experience again this morning. Glory to God. I want to start by letting you know that every believer in Christ Jesus is full of the power of God. Every believer in Christ Jesus is full of the power of God. You carry the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, that's not where it stopped. Because this statement just shows us that God can actually answer prayer. And God can exceed, you see, our expectation in prayers. But then he tells us how he does that. He does that. He said, according to the power that worketh in you. So there is power that works in every believer. So no believer is empty. No believer is empty, devoid of power. Every believer carries within him the power of God. Every believer is full of the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, it said, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So every believer is carrying the Spirit of God. God's Spirit lives in every believer. In fact, a better way to put it is 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17, when he said that he that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit with him. So not only are you housing the Holy Spirit, you become one with that Spirit. Let me explain this to you. Let me give you an example. If I bring two water cans, maybe I bring one is ever water. The other is, what is that? Aquafina or Aquarafa. These are different. This is water. If I bring a cup and I put a bottle, I pour in Aquarafa and pour in Aquafina, and I ask you, separate Aquarafa from Aquafina. There is no separation technique in the world. Do you know why? It is water. Now, so your spirit and the Spirit of God has become one. There can be no separation. Aquarafa has mixed with Aquafina. So where is Aquarafa? Inside Aquafina. Where is Aquafina? Inside Aquarafa. Where is the believer? In Christ. Where is Christ? In the believer. Where is your spirit? Your spirit is in the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost? It's in my spirit. So there is oneness, glory to God, that exists between you and the Holy Ghost. Inseparable oneness. That's one thing. Inseparable oneness. We are one with Christ. You look at me, I'm one with the Holy Ghost. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. One spirit with him. Glory to God. So the believer is a powerful man. He has the Holy Ghost. He houses the Holy Ghost. Actually, he is one with the Holy Ghost. So you look for the Spirit of God, you look at the believer. You look for the believer, you see the Spirit of God. Oneness. And I enjoy this oneness. Glory to God. So the believer is one with Christ. It's good to establish that the believer is one with Christ. And is full of the Holy Ghost and all of that. This by implication means that every believer can flow with the Spirit and in the Spirit. Because we are one with Christ, every believer can flow with the Spirit and flow in the Spirit. What do I mean by that? Every believer can speak in tongues. Every believer can heal the sick. Every believer can prophesy. Mark 16 verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In the original it appears as, these signs shall follow the believing ones. So if you are here and you believed in Christ Jesus, it says these signs shall follow. What are the signs? In God's name, you will be able to cast out devils. So casting out of devils is not something that is actually exclusive to only pastors. Are you following me? It is for them that believe. For them that believe. Why would they be able to cast out devils? Remember again, they are one spirit with God. Remember again, they are carrying the power of God. Remember again, they are housing the Holy Ghost. So will it be strange for someone who carries the Holy Ghost to cast out devils? Will it be strange for someone that is one with the Spirit of God to cast out devils? He said, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak in new tongues. So if you're here this morning, speaking in tongues is not something that is strange to the believer. It's not strange. He said, they shall speak in new tongues. Next verse, he said, if they take up serpents or drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. So literally, we can step on serpents and scorpions. We can drink deadly things, and it shall not hurt us. Glory to God. Why? Because, again, we carry the power of God. We house the Holy Spirit. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So healing is not strange to me. Every believer can flow with the Spirit. In fact, every believer should flow with the Spirit. You see why I have a problem? I was addressing this in the first service. You see why I have a problem? When we have a set of believers who we are producing in the 21st century who move like the devil, moving from place to place, looking for who will see vision for them and who will prophesy for them. If you're like that, stop it this moment. Because every believer should see and hear in the Spirit. Joel 2:28, he said, it shall come to pass that I shall pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So what qualifies you to prophesy is that you are a son or a daughter of God. Say, I'm a son of God. Do you have your voice? Say, I'm a son of God. So because you're a son of God, you can prophesy. And I was saying in the first service, the problem is, many people are no longer idol worshippers. But idol worship has not left their brain. They are no longer practicing African traditional religion, but it's still in their head. So the same way an idol worshipper moves from native doctor to native doctor saying, I want to find out who killed my father. Are you what I'm talking about? I want to find out whether my star is bright. I want to find out, what are all those things? Whether my ancestors are happy with me. What do they call it in your place? What do they call it in your place? Huh? Ichana. Ibafa. Whatever it is. That devilish thing is still operating in so many people's head in the church. Just that they are now Hannah Bazafa in the name of Jesus. That is the same spirit, moving from place to place. Whereas the Bible said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So you are meant to hear from God. Let me tell you why it doesn't make sense for a believer to move from place to place to speak for what is not lost. Because the spirit that is in that prophet, talking to that prophet, is the spirit that you are one with. Think about that. You are one with that spirit. So how will that spirit not talk to you? Your father. It's just like You know, there are many ways to describe our relationship with Jesus or with God. One is, God is our Father. Right? Again, we are one with God. There are many ways to describe it. Many ways. Again, we are the bride of Christ. So if I take this from any angle, it doesn't still make sense to a believer to be moving up and down for prophecies. For instance, you are the bride of Christ. So Jesus is your husband spiritually. Right? And now you want to hear from your husband. You are going up and down asking, what is my husband saying? Someone that is living within the same house. How does that make sense? How does it make sense? And you guys are not quarreling. You guys are in talking terms. Living in the same room. And yet you're going from place to place saying, do you know what my husband thinks? What do you think my husband thinks about this? Can't you ask him? I feel what I'm saying. Now, that is not to despise the ministry of the prophet in the New Testament. I explained it, I'm saying it again. The ministry of the prophet is to confirm. Let me tell you why you're confirming. Because, I give an example. God comes to Prochinedu here and tells him, this and that is going to happen. Now, he has heard it in his spirit. He now comes to church. I now stand as a prophet and tell him the same thing. What is going to happen is, what I've told him is just confirming what he has heard. Now, is it possible that the prophet can tell you something you've not heard in your spirit? Yes. But if he ever tells you that, that same spirit of God will confirm it to you. That's why I tell people, if a prophet tells you something and you pray and your spirit does not resonate with that thing, please leave it alone. Because it is the same spirit that dwells in you that dwells in the prophet. Are you following me, everybody? So one day a prophet met Paul and told Paul, you know, collected Paul's cloak and tied to his waist and said, thus says the Lord. This is how, that's Acts 21, that's Agabus, the prophet. This is how they will drag this man that has his cloak and put him in prison. And when Paul heard that, everybody began to cry and they were telling Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul said, you guys are breaking my heart. He told them, God already informed me that every place I go, chains await me, prison await me. So you're not telling me something I've not heard before. I get what I'm saying. Now, that's not to despise prophets again. That is to say that you should learn, that you should begin to hear from God. It is God's plan that every believer will prophesy. Why? Because he lives in us. He talks through me. He indwells me. I carry the Holy Ghost. Do you want to say, I carry the Holy Ghost? So the person shall prophesy, old men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions. Glory to God. I say, glory to God. So you notice, God wants all of us to flow with the Spirit. You know, there's a scripture I read in the first service, Numbers 11, verse 24. You know how that Moses had anointed some 70 guys to prophesy, and they were all prophesying. And then there were two guys, Medad and Eldad, who were in the camp, who were not part of the 70, and they were prophesying too. So somebody rushed to come and tell Moses, sir, these people are prophesying in the camp, they are not part of the people you anointed, they are prophesying. And Joshua in verse 28 told Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Stop them from doing that rubbish. And in verse 29, Moses told them, are you jealous for my sake? He said, would God that all the lost people were prophets. And as he said, I wish that all the lost people were prophets and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them all. That which Moses wanted has been fulfilled. The Holy Ghost lives in all of us now. Are you following what I'm saying? So you can't be doing like the kings of the Old Testament. So we say, go to Elijah and get the inquiry of the Lord. No, sir. Are you following me, friends? The point is, if I begin to do that, if I tell you anything you want to hear, come and inquire of the Lord from me, you guys will respect me more. Pastors put up all those things so that you can have big respect for them. And you know what they end up doing? They rob you of your freedom in Christ. They rob you of spiritual growth. So you see, a believer has been in church for 7 years, for 10 years, yet he cannot hear from God to make a simple choice. Amen. I said the first time, sometimes people come to my office, it is not happening again. They will bring, one brought three pictures. Say, these three guys that are coming for my hand in marriage. Which one is the person? If you are doing that rubbish, you will be deceived. It's not me that will answer that question. Who is the person you will marry? Your marriage, not my marriage. Glory to God. People just want to become idol worshippers, moving from place to place, from Ezenwani to Ezenwoke, to everybody, just looking for what is not looking for them. It's a strange spirit. Now, you can hear God yourself, or are you quarreling with God? Let me say something to you. I don't know why God decided to stone this prophecy matter, on this hearing from God matter. Do you know that? Who was the first person to commit sin in the Bible? Adam and Eve. Right? Who was the first person to speak to them after they committed sin? God. God said, Adam, where are you? And interacted with them and said, because you've eaten of this tree, this will happen to you. Who was the next person to commit sin after that? Cain. Who was the first person to speak to him after that? God. Now, God is speaking to sinners. And there is a sense of God in this place who is moving from place to place looking for what God is saying. Are you following me this morning? Please, let me say this to you. By the time I'm done, you find out you actually hear God. You've not just been trained to know that you are hearing God. Amen. So you see an untrained believer, he will say, my mind told me. My mind was telling me. You know when we wanted to leave the house? My mind, or maybe something was telling me not to go. And eventually went, it's not something, it's God talking to you. But they've not given you some kind of spiritual intelligence. Because they've robbed you by telling you, if you want to hear from God, come and tell me. So you see people moving from place to place, prayer house to prayer house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you still here this morning? You can flow with the Spirit. There are reasons why many believers don't flow with the Spirit. Number one, I'm dealing with it already, is ignorance. Ignorance is the top of the list. Why many believers don't flow with the Spirit and have results. Some don't even know who they are. Some don't even know what they have. Some don't even know what they can do. And my people, the Bible says, perish because they lack knowledge. Are you following me, friends? Are you following me this morning? He said, I've said it. It's Psalm 82, verse 5. Oh, glory to God. I don't know why this is coming to my heart this morning. Psalm 82, verse 5. Glory to God. They know not. Right? Are you here? They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundation of the world are out of course. Verse 6. I've said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Verse 7. But you shall die like men. And fall like one of the princes. Do you know why? They know not. Is that we don't understand. Knowledge is the major reason why many people don't make progress with the Spirit. Some people think that they don't qualify. Some people think that before you speak in tongues, you have to ascend into the seven mountains and seven hills. Some people think all those things, that knowledge problem is the reason why you are limiting yourself in spiritual flows. Are you here this morning? That knowledge problem. Glory to God. Some other people have a knowledge problem. They don't know how the Spirit works. I gave an example in first service. There are people here now. You don't pray in tongues. Let me tell you why you don't pray in tongues. Because every time we say let us pray in tongues, you just lift up your hands and you close your eyes and you are hoping that you will just become unconscious and then you wouldn't know yourself again. And you find your tongue moving, ta ta ta, to to to, brother, da 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 da. You now wake up and say, hey, what was I doing? You see, that thing is ignorance. The Holy Ghost, whenever He's moving, does not take over your consciousness. Now, once in a while, that can happen, because you can have a trance. Okay? You can even, God can talk to you through dreams, and in dreams, you're not conscious. But this is once in a while. Most times the Spirit is moving, you are conscious. I give an example in first service. I'll say it again. On the day of Pentecost, while they were praying in that upper room, they were speaking in tongues. They were having fun in the Holy Ghost. The people gathered and said that they were drunk. And Peter stood up and calmed the others down and began to teach. So Peter and the rest were conscious enough to hear that the people said that they were drunk. I get what I'm saying. So they were not unconscious. And some people say they were drunk, they knew. That tells you, I can speak in tongues and I'm fully conscious. But you see why people don't speak in tongues? Pray the Holy Ghost, they say, ah, it's not moving me yet. It needs to carry me. Carry you to where? Glory to God. Where is it taking you to? You already one with the Spirit. So where is it carrying you to? You already one with that Spirit. So where is that Spirit about to carry you to that you are not? Wherever you are about to be carried to, you're already there. Because you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So where are they carrying you to now? That makes you feel, before I heal the sick, you know, I need to feel it. And the power will come upon me. And I'll be vibrating. And I'll be floating under the anointing. And I will now walk up to the place. And I'll put my hand. The day Peter walked on water, Bible said he was walking on water and he saw the waves. So he was conscious to see the waves. Are you following me this morning? So, you see that ignorance problem? Let us pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody saying, I'm not moved. Let us prophesy. I didn't get anything. Say something, prophesy. I didn't get anything. Before I prophesy, sir, I have to jump up, scatter seeds, scatter everywhere. I don't know myself. And I was shouting, blah, 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 blah. And I say, my people, my people. Listen, let me tell you. If that is how you've been doing, you are not wrong, but you need to grow. You know what I'm saying? You need to grow. Because, you know, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, put up NLT. Let's read like a mass choir so that you can understand what I'm saying. This morning, God is going to speak to you and speak through you. Let's read together, everybody. Come on, add some gusto to your voice. Use volume 10. Let's go. Is this your level 10? Stand your feet, stand your feet, stand your feet. Let's do level 10. Glory to God. Let's go now. And let the others evaluate what they said. Verse 30. But if someone is prophesying and another receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. Verse 31. In this way, all who prophesy, we have a turn to speak one after the other. So that everyone will learn. So I can be prophesying. I can line you people. See what Paul is saying. I can line people up here. Our prophesying turn by turn. Or you prophesy. You say your own. You prophesy. So, what did he get to when I did not get anything? Paul is trying to say, it's within your control. It's within your control. So, she can be prophesying now. See that verse 30. She's prophesying. And I get a word from God about what she's saying. And I say, Ma, can I say something? She said yes. She will say, she will keep quiet. And I will give my own explanation, my own revelation. And tell her, oh yeah, continue your prophecy. And she will pick up. Are you following what I'm talking about? It's called liberty with the spirit. But when many people don't know, oh yeah, prophesy, sir, let it come upon me first. Where is it coming from? Amen. I said, amen. We have liberty with the Spirit. Have your seat, have your seat. You guys are waking up once more. Before we're done, you'll be up, you'll be fully awake. Glory to God. So, first reason people don't flow with the Spirit is ignorance. Second reason people don't flow with the Spirit freely is guilt and condemnation. Many people are living in condemnation. They think they don't qualify. They think, to speak in tongues, I never reach. You know, there was a sin I committed 6 years ago. It's still haunting me. I lied yesterday or 2 days ago. I can't, if you're lying, stop lying. But then I lied 2 days ago, but it's still haunting me. I don't think I can speak in tongues. I don't think I can heal the sick. How can I can heal the sick? Whereas I've not even finished dealing with my own life first. Pastor, let me finish dealing with my own life first before I can face another person. Well, that day you finish dealing with your own life will not come. Do you know what I said? Galatians 3 verse 5 with New Living Translation. Galatians 3 verse 5. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? What did he say? Of course not. It is because you believe the message about Christ. So the flow in the miraculous is not a consequence of obeying the law. It's a consequence of your faith in Christ Jesus. So don't start feeling guilty and condemned and start disqualifying yourself. Hallelujah. So don't let guilt keep you down. Don't let guilt keep you down. Amen. You know, there is someone here I'm talking to now. You got filled with the Holy Ghost. But along the line, you committed sin. And when you committed sin, you stopped speaking in tongues. Because something, not God, told you that because you sinned, you've lost that gift. Let me say to you, that's a very big lie. I'm talking from God's mouthpiece this morning. Let me even prove to you that it's a very big lie. Have you not observed that since they told you you've lost that gift, whenever you go to meetings and they still begin to pray and sing, you try to speak it, but you deliberately hold yourself back because something is telling you you've lost it. It's the devil shutting you up. Break out of condemnation. Because this morning we're going to say, hold your neighbor's hand. Say something to the person. Let God give you a word concerning the person. And somebody is going to hold somebody's hand and God is talking to you and say, no, how am I sure it's going to, it cannot be God. Me that used to break out from that. Give the condemnation. Number three. Why don't people flow with the Spirit? I said number one is ignorance. Number two is guilt, condemnation. Number three is they don't have a strong desire. There are people who serve God. The reason they can't go far in their work with God is because they don't have a very strong desire to flow in spiritual things. No desire at all. No desire. No desire. That serving God. And you know, let me say this to you. I've said in the first service, what you are looking for, you will see. Some people have no desire. They see their friends prophesying. Maybe we're about to pray now in this meeting. Everybody's praying in tongues. Now you don't pray in tongues. And what do you do? Instead of desiring and converting it, you're just popping up and down, jesting with your neighbor, laughing, chewing gum. Like you're chewing your destiny. There should be a solid desire in you. I want to be able to heal the sick. I want to be able to raise the dead. I want to be able to be more for God. That desire must be burning in your heart, sir. I get to the point. You see people prophesying, don't say, what are they doing? You should want to do the same. 1 Corinthians 12:31, covet earnestly the best gifts. The set of Christians I don't do things with are Christians who have no desire for God. That is me. If I have no strong desire for God, let me say this to you. Bring me anybody, sinner, whatever the person is. Oh, he used to, you know, that's the forgotten child in the family. Bring him to me. If I interact with the person and I see passion for God, passion to be more for God, forget whatever sin the person has committed. Give me 1 month. I will deliver to you a minister of God. Because once there is a desire in the heart, God can do more with the person. And I want to talk to somebody here. You must cultivate a desire for spiritual things. So, do you know why if you don't have a desire, you will not flow in the Spirit? Because God does not override people's will. He cannot give you what you are not desiring. If not, he will be a bully. It will be that he is imposing things on you. But God does not impose things on people. I get what I'm saying? He doesn't. So he will want you to have that hunger. Even though the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, the expressions of the Holy Ghost through you will come as you are hungry for him. Somebody here should be saying, I want to pray in tongues the more. Somebody here should be saying, I want to prophesy the more. Someone should be saying, I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead the more. It should be a desire in your heart. What characterized my early days as a Christian, as an SS2 boy, was a desire to serve God and to work miracles and to do mighty things. Now, at this point, I didn't know that I was going to be a pastor. I didn't know I was called of God, but he was just there. And talk to anybody God is using today, they will tell you the same story. Same story. I desired to do more for God. So your own can start today with a desire. There are young people in our generation, what are the 3 things on their list? 3 biggest things you desire. First, I want money. I want to blow. Second, I want to get married to a good man that will pamper me and give me baby girl treatment. Number 3. I want to jackpot. Crazy. Now these are the 3 biggest. As young as you are. As young, these are the things that is giving you sleepless nights. You see money, you're going to have it.
all those things. But when you finally have it, you will look back and know that there is something more than that. You know, I say this all the time. The way life is structured is that anything you do not have, something makes you think that once you have that thing, you are settled for life. I always give this example when I talk to people who looked, how many of you sought admission for a very long time? Who stayed at home after school for 5 years? Anybody? 5 years, raise your hand. Raise it now. We are many. 4 years. 3 years. 2 years. 1 year. You enter school immediately. Wow. Rich kids. When you look for admission for 4 years, at the fourth year, you just feel like, let me just gain admission. It's now when you enter school and do 1 year and 2 years, you're wondering, is this what I was coming to do? Some of my sons come to me and say that I don't want to go again. I say, no, you will go. I've had people come to me to cry for admission. After 2 years, they come back and say, Daddy, don't worry. I think they should give you the certificate of the one I've gone. You know how it works? Before you get something, you feel that is the only thing you need to survive. It's not when you get that in, you now find out that there is more to life. It's not because you don't have money now. That's why you think that life is all about the money. The people that have money are still depressed, still not satisfied. They are looking for other things. Have your priorities right. Money will come. I don't preach poverty because I'm a rich man. I don't preach poverty. But money cannot be the first on your priority list. You can't ask me to tell me to ask for 5 things that I want most in life and money features. It's not. I'm telling you sincerely. Did you observe? I just failed to say this by the Holy Ghost. Did you observe that when God asked Solomon to ask for what he wanted, he didn't ask for money? But Solomon is the richest man. But he asked for wisdom. Wisdom to lead God's people. So he was asking for a spiritual enablement. I agree what I'm talking about. He got that spiritual enablement to lead God's people. Money followed it. I'm saying to you, you must earnestly covet. When you see people praying in tongues, don't just look around and say, they do their own. Oh boy, covet. You don't have a fake Holy Spirit. It's the same spirit that is in you. When people are prophesying, don't say, now you know. And you should want to know. I get to the point. I love the power of God. I've always loved the power of God. I've always wanted to see the power of God. It means that today I've always loved it. Oh, I love the power of God. Do you love the power of God? So I love it. You love it? The power of God. And we will use more of it. We will use more. We will do more. That desire must be there. Earnestly covet the best gifts. You're a businessman. You're a student. Earnestly covet the best gifts. Let hunger be burning in you. Let hunger be burning in you. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, Jesus said. Let there be hunger for the supernatural in you. You will see what will happen. Many of you that have not done much. You have not prophesied. Not because God has not given you that ability, but because you don't even care. I get the point. You don't even care whether I prophesy or not. You don't even care. Some people have never prayed for 2 hours. Not because they cannot. They don't even want to pray. Because they want their mother's prayer to cover them. You know, I've addressed that matter here. They want their mother's prayer to cover them. Their wife's prayer to cover them. Glory to God. God is not unrighteous. He won't send an innocent young girl into your life. An innocent young girl that is praying into your prayerless life. So that you can become a fire extinguisher to the girl. So if you want a praying wife, become a praying man. You want a praying man, become a praying woman. If not, God will make every connection not to connect. You will marry what you deserve. For real. I don't know how you guys see some of these things. You don't come to church, you don't pray. Midnight, you're sleepy, you're snoring, and you want God to send somebody into your life who will now be praying and covering you. So when that lady needs cover, who will cover her? Her own prayer. When she's weak to pray, who will pray for her? Desire spiritual things. I get the point. Desire spiritual things. So when your son falls sick and they say we can no longer help, and your wife is not at home, what will happen? You say, wait for your mommy to come back. Oh. Don't die till your mommy is back. Oh. Imagine that. As though he has his life in his hand. That's the place you lay hands. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Thou foul devil of infirmity, get out of this child. You know, they wrote, they called Andrew Womack and the wife that his son just died in the hospital. He said they were overwhelmed, but they were very far from town. And he told them, don't bury him till we are back. Don't do anything. And they were driving back. They were praying. They were singing, him and the wife. They prayed. They sang for 4 hours. By the time they entered the hospital, the child caught up. Still alive today. You should desire to do spiritual things, because one day your family may need it. I got what I'm saying. The child came back alive. See, imagine you married a praying man and you're not a praying woman. As he's interceding in the car coming back, you'll be shouting and crying in the car. Gene came inside the car as they're praying. Miracle will not happen, sir. You understand? Imagine you guys are driving back, say your son has died, your husband is praying and believing God, and you are calling many people saying, it has happened. It has happened. God has brought, God has taken, oh, Alexander is no more. Where your husband is believing God, that is how we go back to life. The Alex is no more. Oh, Meme. Agbamaka. You know, where they are trying to believe God for the child to come back. Convert spiritual things, sir. Convert it. So that you don't have a failed hope. Glory to God. And so, next reason, get this time and walking. Why people don't play with the spirit, I'll just wind down shortly, is the wrong association. The wrong association. Many people have not flown much with the spirit because they have all the wrong friends. They don't have friends that inspire them to do spiritual things. They don't have friends that inspire them to pray. They don't have friends that inspire them. They have all the wrong friends. And I was saying in the first service, that's why we encourage you that after service, you should stay back. Not because this place is so comfortable, but so that you can interact with people and make friends. I gave them an example in the first service. All the workers here, for instance, if you've been a worker here for the past 2 years or 3 years, you will find out that almost all your friends, your closest friends, are here. Two of us. Not because we said you must make them friends, but because if you spend more time here, your friends will be here. All the friends in your life are drunkards, runs girls. Do you know why? It is where you are spending time. Have the right association. Two is better than one, so that when one is weak, the other will strengthen the other. Two heads are better than one. It's actually two good heads. I get my point. It's only two good heads. A good head and a bad head is a bad match. Then two bad heads. It's always, I love when two bad heads are together. Now somebody's asking me, if you don't befriend people that are not Christians and not serious, how will they become Christian? You don't need to befriend them to change them. It is the gospel that changes. When you preach them and they begin to respond, they will change. You don't need to befriend nobody. Hear this. I said in the first service, listen, you cannot be a cultist if you don't have cultists as friends. You cannot be a runs girl if you don't have runs girls as friends. I'm telling you. You cannot be a Yahoo boy if you don't have Yahoo boys as friends. Nobody becomes a Yahoo boy in isolation. They always go to HK. where they gather. Let me know what I said in the first service. Where they gather to practice how to deceive people and to steal from them. You need that association to be able to be mad. He that walks with the wise will be wise. That's why, let me say this to you. Some of that are getting admission newly. When you get admission and you get into school, please, your first point of call should be to choose the right friends. I'll tell you how to do that. Your first point of call should be to locate a good church and begin to attend. So from there, God can give you friends. You see all those people in your lodge that the reasons you will start smoking very soon. You see a proper student that gets into school, has never tested cigarettes. By final year, he's on colos. Why? The friends they began to keep. Do not try to be a Christian way, no way. Don't know way as a Christian. Keep Christian friends. Don't be a Christian that, you know, I'm a believer, shabble. I can keep all these guys around me. They don't affect me. You cannot resist an influence you've exposed yourself to. Nobody can resist. You cannot enter water and not be wet. So you cannot expose yourself to the wrong people and say, well, I'm still spiritually fervent. Some of you, I'm talking to you, this is why you are no longer fervent as you used to be. Leave this meeting and tell them and stop flowing with those guys. There are friends you should keep that will inspire you to pray, inspire you to do the supernatural. When you guys, if you hear me talking to my friend now, Pastor Casey on phone, he's telling me, you know, this is what we are doing where we are, and I'm telling him this is what we are doing where we are. When you are done with that kind of call, you are inspired. Are you going to say, you are inspired? You are inspired. How I knew I was, the meeting, in fact, the day I finally confirmed that I was going to start a walk, start this church, I was in a prayer retreat with that same friend of mine. That day I told him, the Lord has given, told me to stay in Enugu. And he told me, the Lord has told me to go to Abuja and do a walk. That was 2013-2014. We were praying together. I picked the leading. I'm here doing the work. He's in Abuja doing the work now. That's association that inspires hearing from God. I get to the point. Funny thing was, before he told me that, I already told him one day, I said strongly that the north is for you. He said, I've picked that actually. That is association that will inspire you to do more supernaturally. But no, that's not who you want. You want all the fools around you to gather, and you say they won't affect you. You cannot enter water and not be wet. Let me tell you, association is so powerful that if I am wearing a perfume, a very strong one, and you stay in the same car with me and step out of that car, you will be smelling like me. It is that powerful. Perfume that you don't even wear. Do you know, if you stay around smokers, you don't need to test one stick, you'll be smelling. I know what I'm talking about. Is that powerful? In fact, it has been confirmed that if you stay around smokers, you are smoking. Medically speaking, actually, if you stay around smokers, you are smoking. Now, whether you collect the stick or not, they are releasing, you are receiving. Impartation. You've got to mind your associations. You want to preserve the move of the Spirit in your life. 1 Samuel 10, Samuel said to Saul, when you leave this place, he said, you will meet a company of prophets prophesying. He said, when you meet them, you shall prophesy. So Saul met some prophets. He has never been a prophet in his life. But because he met those guys prophesying, that spirit of prophecy jumped on him. There are company of prophets. Oh, Kabbalataya. When you step into that company, even a spiritual gift or an anointing you've never flowed in can begin to flow in your life just by meeting some people. Have good friends. After service time, you are walking home so quickly as though there is food on fire. Let me not say what I said, but I feel like saying it again. Because half of the time, you don't even have food at home. So why are you rushing home? Stay here. You might receive zobo or bones. Glory to God. And when you are around, talk to people. I'm not saying stay here forever. At least 10 minutes, how are you doing? You know, get people's gonna get to know people. So from there, associations begin to build. So when you are weak, any day your head touch you, say, I don't want to serve God again. That is someone that will stand on your case and say, I'm not going anywhere. There are some people, any day they say they're not serving God again, they have 30 friends that will help them not to ever serve God. You know what I said? Once they say, I don't want to go to church again, they have friends that will say, this is what we've been trying to tell you all the while, but you didn't get it. Don't go anywhere. Start home. And there are people, the day they say they're not doing again, they have 30 friends that will come for prayer meeting in their house all night, shouting, you must serve the Lord. Are you going to be talking about the right association? Spiritual flows. Glory to God. You know, the next reason why people don't flow in the spirit, apart from wrong associations, is doubt and unbelief. But before I talk about that, I will talk about the fact that many of them don't give themselves to prayer and Christian practices. Many people don't give themselves to prayer. They don't come to church. They don't read their Bible. You know, you are in church today, possibly because somebody called you yesterday and convinced you, please now come to church. Please now come to church. You don't come to church. You don't pray. You don't study. You suddenly want to be a giant spiritually. Go and have a prayer life. Take your Christian life so seriously. So seriously. So seriously. If you give yourself to Christian practices, you will enjoy spiritual flows. If you give yourself to prayer, because the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man maketh tremendous power available. Dynamic in his talking. James 5:16 amplified. It makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in his working. Are you following me? You want to be a man of power? Stay on the word. You know that song? Read your Bible, pray every day. Has never changed. If you read your Bible and pray, you'll be grow. If you read your Bible and grow and pray, you'll be solid. Church is tomorrow. Attend. We're going to have 30 days of light. That can be 30 days of total transformation for you. Yeah. Many of you will move from one level in your work with God to a brand new level if you can take it. But that's when some people will say, 30 days of always coming to church. You know, somebody, I think it was Pastor Mara, said something. I don't know if she noticed I took note of that. Somebody was talking to her and said, 30 days like coming to church. And Pastor Mara said, don't you leave your house every day? You leave your house every day. There's literally anybody that at least 3 or 4 or 5 times in a week, you will leave the house. So whether you are coming to church or not, you will step out of your house every day. So why is it difficult for you to come to church? Somebody says, sir, but I'm working from home. Work from outside for 30 days. 5 to 7:30. Oh, we'll be blessed. The kind of unbelief you guys have towards my message timing. Glory to God. But are you not excited? You know, actually, I'm excited to have a church. Now, even if I become pastor, to have a church where the problem is that they're teaching for long. Than to have a church where the problem is that they don't teach us at all. There are churches you go to 13 minutes. People are adjusting on their seats. You better sit down well. So when I'm rounding up. How many of you were at LMP this weekend? Amen. How many hours did you learn God's word? Over 30 hours in 3 days. You know, that kind of meeting, you sleep, you wake up. You know, you saw that picture somebody posted from LMP. Somebody's notes. You just write, but you know you are drawing things already in your notes. But such a beautiful time. And the testimonies are flowing already. And testimonies will even come in the coming months and years. It will come because you will see how people get transformed. I've been holding LMP for this year now. Is the 10th year. It started as a very small meeting. If it is not productive, people will not be registering every year. It's as simple as that. It's because there is such a thing as when you stand under God's word, it changes you. Give yourself to God's word. Give yourself to prayer. It will change your life. It will transform your life. Amen. I said amen. So the next thing I said already is doubt and unbelief. Many people doubt themselves. They don't believe. They don't, you know, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Everybody's praying, Shaka Baraba. You say, I'm not sure that my own is real. If I now pray my own now, what if I'll be talking rubbish and insulting God? Why is it the only thing coming to your mind? Is that doubt? Doubt, you doubt yourself. Let's lay hands on the sick. What if I do that and doesn't go well? Get well. Let me say something to you. Everybody that has ever flowed in the Spirit, everybody that has ever flowed in the Spirit, had some doubts before they stepped out. Do you remember the first day, if you're here, the first day you gave somebody a prophetic word? Who remembers? Did you have doubts that day? Did you think about it 5 times? There's always that doubt. What if I talk and I talk rubbish now? What if I lay hands on the person and doesn't get well? There is that doubt. But rise against it and rise above it. Because actually, when you want to flow in the Spirit, don't believe in yourself. But believe in who God has made you. Who has God made you? You are one with Christ. Believe in the one that is inside of you. Greater is He that is in you. Believe in that one that is in you. So, as we begin to flow with the Spirit this morning, you have to really believe that the things you are hearing are correct. Because some people, they hear things and they wonder, how am I sure it's God talking to me? How am I sure it's not my mind? How am I sure it's not my flesh talking to me? Are you following me? Believe. But you notice most times you think it's not God talking to you. When events eventually unfold, you finally realize it was God talking to you. Has it ever happened to you? God just tells you, begin to pray for this person. Something just tells you. And you say, maybe it's just my mind. Maybe just the fear. After 3 days, you hear certain things. And you say, God told me. You should begin to trust. Let me say what I'm trying to say. God talks to every believer. We just don't know how to hear. And one of the ways to hear, I'm telling you now, is trust your inward witness. Don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt what you hear. Don't doubt what you hear. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. You know, there are some of you here, you hear certain things, you are doubting it. You come to church on Sunday, pastor begins to address the same thing. Has ever happened to you? You now find that, so it was God talking to me. Get to trust it. Want to pray for the sick. Don't say, what if I lay hands, it doesn't happen. What if you lay hands and it happens? Let me even tell you this. It is not possible for a believer to lay hands on the sick and nothing will happen. I said, it is not possible. The person may not manifest, the healing may not manifest immediately for whatever reason, but something happened at that point. Jesus cursed the fig tree. It didn't dry up. I agree what I'm saying. Until the next day. And Jesus did not bother saying, nothing happened. Anytime I touch you, something happens to you. Anytime. You know, somebody, I think it was my pastor that said this. He said, I was talking to him. He said, if it wasn't him, it was one of his pastors that said it. So it was not a report. He said he loved what the guy said. He said, sometimes when we pray over issues and they don't manifest immediately, he said, sometimes it's not because God is slow. Sometimes it's because God is thorough. So he's trying to do a thorough job. I get what I'm saying. So when you lay hands on people, they say, nothing happened. Something actually happened. Sometimes God is addressing the thing from the root. Cutting things off from the root. Don't doubt yourself. Don't be afraid. Be bold in the Lord. Be confident in the Lord. Put your hands on the sick. Prophesy. Give prophetic words. Speak by faith. Say like Elijah. By this time next year. Speak like that. Be confident. Stop doubting yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can practice the power of God. You know that's my topic this morning. practicing the power of God, actually. Amen. We can practice the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt yourself. The last thing, don't quench the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. Whenever the spirit prompts you towards him, let me tell you, I spent this. Look how to quench the spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19. He said, quench not the spirit. See how to quench the spirit. I'll give the example like I did in first service. So we are praying. You are holding someone's hand, and both of you are praying, and then you hear something. The thing you heard was like the wisdom of God. You just heard it. And God is saying, tell her. You say, how am I sure this? I said it's correct. What if I just say it and it's wrong? Now, and you do not say it, you've quenched the spirit. Actually, when you open your mouth and say there is the wisdom of God, the next thing will now follow. But if you don't take that first move, the next one will not follow. So you've quenched that flow. Do you get what I'm saying? That is a sick person there. Go and lay hands on him. Yeah. If I go there, and nothing happens. You've quenched that flow. Go and preach to that sinner. Every time there is a prompting, learn to yield to the spirit. As we begin to pray, that's how, if I let you see to me, if you've never prayed in tongues before, that's how to speak in tongues. As we begin to pray, once you sense yourself trying to say something you don't understand, allow it. If you hold it back and say, why am I ashamed? I'm not talking rubbish. You've quenched that flow. You know what I'm talking about now? As simple as that. You know, sometimes people walk out of their blessings because they quench the spirit. I just remember, I don't know why God is saying I should tell this story. But there are some people in this church who do not know how to sit one place. You sit down in service. One of the ways to cooperate with the spirit in service is that you learn to sit down and remain there till the service is done. In service, 3 hour service, you stood up like 5 times. Did you buy a new clothes that you want us to see? I was in a meeting 2014. Some of you remember this meeting, somewhere around Obolo. And then I entered there. The Lord showed me one young guy and said, this guy, you are going to lay hands on him. And told me that said there is something for him. Explained everything to me, but he told me that he will walk out of this meeting. You know, God is interesting. And in my heart, I was sitting down. You know, so that when you see man of God, sit down and doing, we're not always forming. Sometimes it's forming. And sometimes it's not. You know, there is a way to do like man of God when you enter a meeting. Just the way. It's not all the time that we are forming. So that I was just praying. I was just praying, Father, please. Do you know, few minutes I wanted to stand up to climb the stage. That boy stood up and left. I felt like shouting, don't go, come back. And the Lord said, leave him. And I asked God, why did you now tell me if you know he was going to go? He said, I just want to show you how many people walk out of what I have for them. Because they don't know how to cooperate with the move of the Spirit. We are in this service now. Everybody, please begin to pray. You are moving around. You are not yielding to the Spirit. You are quenching the move of the Spirit. Let's all rejoice. That is the time you sit down on your seat. Because you are phlegmatic. You don't talk much. I'm silent. And yet when your club scores a goal, you start shouting like a mad person. And they will still win you at the end of the day. It means you are actually very expressive. You are not just yielding to the Spirit. You know, somebody said to me, have you observed that if you see any person, is there anybody in this church that you think does not talk too much or does not talk at all? Anybody? Who? Point to the person. Who are they pointing to? Do you know, every time you say such things, the person's close friends will always tell you, it's a lie, yo. Have you observed that kind of thing? That tells you people are not actually quiet. When they get into their comfortable environment, they are expressive. So let the environment of the spirit be your comfortable environment. When you enter the realm of the spirit, be yourself. If they are dancing, dance. Are you getting what I'm talking about? If they are shouting, shout. If they are laughing, laugh. If they are Run up and down. Yield to the Spirit. If they say go give someone a word, don't say I'm a phlegmatic. Step out. And by the way, nobody's a phlegmatic in Christ. Nobody's a melancholy in Christ. There is one new man in Christ. Because some of you are just playing. Say, the reason I talk too much and I insult people is because I'm a sanguine. Here are they make. You saw sanguine in the Bible? The reason I'm a choleric, the reason I boss people around and control them is because I'm a choleric. That's just who I am. You've not read Galatians 5. You've not heard about self-control. You've not heard about meekness. The Bible said you have a fruit. The Bible called that fruit the fruit of meekness. A certain book you read said you're a choleric. You believe the book, you ignore the Bible. I'm a meek man. I'm not a choleric. I have self-control. I'm not a sanguine. I get the point. Bible tells us to go loud. He called us kerusos. A keruso is a public announcer of the good news. That's who you are. But another book said you are phlegmatic. You don't talk much. And you accepted that one. I'm a public crier with the good news. I get what I'm saying. When you get into the environment, yield to the Spirit. That word that comes to your heart, just feel free and give it. Don't say, you know, I don't talk much. You shut up and start talking. All these girls that do, I don't talk much. The day you hear them gisting their husband, you will know that they are talkatives. They will talk the man to sleep. He says, so you slept up for me. I'm sorry. He said, hey, as I was saying, all night. But then we come to him and say, you talk a lot. Yield to the Spirit. Because for I've seen such friends. So that's in my office, people come to see me. That person you think is so quiet, when they start talking, and some of them can really gist. They gist with you in a way that you're now, oh, this girl can talk. But when they come out, they're calm. It's okay if you're calm like that. If you're not used to the environment, it's fine. But every time you are doing a spiritual meeting, every time in the atmosphere of the Spirit, that is your natural habitat. Be yourself. Be yourself. Dance in the Holy Ghost. Give words. If we say lay hands on the sick, lay hands on the sick. You are bold. The realm of the Spirit is my natural habitat. And I respond to it. I said I respond to it. I respond to it. Play that song. I dance to the rhythms of Yahweh. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Listen, we'll have 3 things to do this one. Just exactly what we did in the first service. I'm going to give you 3 to 5 minutes to pray. When I ask you pray on top of your voice with every intensity. After that, I'll tell you what is next. Are you ready? All over this place, lift your voice. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Remember, yield to the Spirit. All over this place, quench not the Spirit. Just pray. Come on. Don't put in prayer. Don't go from 0 to 1 to 2. Start from 10. It's a sign of a strong believer. You must be prayer ready at all times. Prayer ready at all times. Come on. That's how to pray. Pray like that. Some of you are praying as you should pray. Others are still picking up. Pray. Yield yourself. Stir up the gift that is within you. Stir up the gift that is within you. Thank you. You have 3 more minutes. Pray. Don't stop. Higher. Minutes, just pray. Now hold somebody's hand and pray with the person. Hold the person's hand. Form a chain and pray with the person. Hold the person's hand. Hold somebody's hand and pray with the person. Let's raise up that prayer here. Hold your neighbor's hand. Just like we believe in Solomon is blessed.
The rhythm of Yahweh is one. For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.